Canto 19. In that hour when the whole heat of the day is overcome by Earth's cold and the cold of Saturn, and no longer keeps at bay the cold moon, while what geomancers hold to be their greater future, that small spray of six stars, rises in the east before the dawn, using a path that won't remain long dark for it, and light will close the door, there came to me a woman, racked with pain, into my dream, and she was crossed of eye and crooked on her feet, with broken hands and sallow, and she stammered fit to die. I stared at her, and as the sun commands warmth into limbs benumbed by the chill night, my look untied her tongue, and in a while she straightened up. Wan features were made bright with color, as love finds the proper style. Her speech set free, she then began to sing. And hard it would have been to turn my mind away from that song, such a charming thing it was. I am the siren, of my kind the sweetest, and the sailors I can fetch in from the sea, and them to me I bind as prisoners of delight. For quite a stretch Ulysses, eager voyager, was held fast by my song. Whoever dwells with me, so thoroughly are all his longings quelled, he rarely leaves. The pretty melody was over, but her lips were not yet closed, when there beside me a new face appeared. A woman holy, vibrant yet composed. Briefly she spoke, in sharp tones to be feared for anger. Virgil, Virgil, who is this? His gaze paid homage to that honest one. With altogether different emphasis, he seized the other, and the thing was done. Tearing her clothes in front, he laid her bare, showing her belly, and the stink of her awoke me, and I heard my guide declare, "Three times I called you, and yet still you were enchanted. Rise now and get out of there. We have to find the gap where you go in." I rose, and high day had already lit the circles from low down where they begin, all the way up the holy mountain. It was full of light. Propelled by the new sun, we went on. As I followed him, my brow, I knew by how it felt, I bore like one whose thoughts weigh down on him, to make him bow like the half arch of a bridge, and then I heard, "Come, here's the passage." In a voice more sweet and gracious to the ear than any word in this our mortal world we ever meet. The speaker had the spread wings of a swan. He showed us upward in between the walls of flintstone, and we felt, as we moved on, the fanning of his feathers with soft calls of Quilugant, which means all those who mourn are to be blessed, for consolation will possess their souls. "By what doubt are you torn?" my guide asked when our new place on the hill was higher than the angels. "Why do you stare at the ground?" And I to him, "I go compelled by much misgiving from a new vision, which to itself has bent me so I can't stop thinking of it." "But it's true," he said. "That ancient witch is mourned nowhere except in circles yet to come. You saw how men are free of her. Enough said. Spare your feet your waverings, and fix before your eyes the real enchantment, the spun flare the eternal king, to mark the joy in store, has lit with the great wheels their starry trace." Just like the falcon, which, when it is hailed, looks first down to its feet, then turns to face the call, and stretches by desire assailed for food, so I was in that cloven place, and went up through the rock to where one takes the circuit. I came out in the fifth round. People were there who wept as the heart breaks. They helplessly lay face down on the ground. "My soul cleaves to the dust," they said with sighs, so deep the words were hard to pick apart. "Elect of God," my poet asked, "whose prize is here to have the anguish in your heart made less acute by justice and by hope? Which is the best way up?" "If you're exempt from lying here on this round of the slope," the answer came, "the route for your attempt," these words came from a little way ahead, is quickest if your right hand stays outside. After I found that face by what it said, I turned with a mute question to my guide, and gladly he assented with a sign. Free now to act, I drew above that soul whose words had made me note him. These were mine. Spirit whose weeping ripens to a hole without which nobody returns to God. For my sake, stay a while your chief concern. Who were you all? Why do you, in this odd manner, show us your backs? This I would learn, and whether you, when I go back alive into the world, would want me from a boon. And he to me. Just how it should arrive, that heaven turns our backs to it, you soon will know. Know now that Peter was first in my chair. I was Pope Adrian, Count of Lavagna, titled so because that fair stream serves our land. I was the man who proved in 5 weeks what the mantle weighs on him who keeps it from the mud. No load comes close to it. Alas, there were delays before my feet were set on the right road. But when I was made shepherd there in Rome, I saw how life was just a pack of lies. I saw the heart could never be at home. I saw it was impossible to rise in that life, so that this life with no end kindled my love. I, wretched till that hour, separate from God, believed that my best friend was avarice. You see me in the power of its fit penitence. What avarice can do is here declared, so as to purge converted souls. No pain is worse than this in all the mountain. Just as that foul urge kept our eyes low, misled by worldly things, so justice here has sunk them to the earth. Just as that rage reduced to flickerings our love of good, and labor died at birth, so justice here takes care to hold us fast, bound hand and foot, and keeps us for as long as it should please the Lord. From first to last we lie still and outstretched. We were that wrong. I'd knelt, and was about to speak, but when he heard one word, he guessed my reverence. What cause, he said, has set you kneeling then? And I. Your dignity commands my sense of fitness. He to me. Brother, set straight your legs and rise. I am, make no mistake, a fellow servant of one potentate, along with you and others. For the sake of those words in the gospel which make clear all earthly marriages are here annulled, be sure of what I mean. I have not here my earthly rank, so try not to be gulled. Now go your way. I would not have you pause longer than this. Your presence interferes with how I weep according to the laws of that full ripening you say my tears will bring me to. Alagia, my niece, lives yonder. By her nature she has all the virtues. May our house leave them in peace, and not corrupt her with its tempting call. For she is all my treasure left unspent, as I lie here in this, my long lament.